The views and opinions expressed on the following program are not necessarily those of the staff and management of KLAY or those who advertise their products or services on this station.
Welcome to NOAA Your Rights, the show dedicated to helping educate you, the listener, on your legal rights and resources available. Our goal is to empower you and put you in charge of your case. I'm your host, Attorney Noah Davis, broadcasting live from the studios of KLAY 1180 in Tacoma, Lakewood, Washington. Be sure to check out our website at www.noahyourrights.com as we post the audio for each show as well as follow-up information on each program. You can also email me. Many of you do. That email address is noah@noahyourrights.com. There's two R's in there. Be sure that you add that. You can also visit clay1180.com for more information on me, the show, and additional programming on your conversation station. This is episode 32 of Know Your Rights. Traffic tickets. Traffic tickets cover both moving and non-moving violations. Traffic tickets represent the most common way that we as citizens are likely to interact with the police. The most common moving violation is speeding. About 41 million speeding tickets are issued annually in the U.S. That's about one ticket for every five drivers. Maybe not surprisingly then, stats show that more men are pulled over than women. Women are more likely to be issued parking citation than men, but men are much more likely to be pulled over than women for all moving violations, particularly speeding. No matter the type of perceived fault that you may believe in, traffic citations, I think we can all agree, can be a real pain. Look, we should all be following every local and state motor vehicle law. I mean, that's super important. It's important for our safety. It's important for the safety of other people, other drivers, pedestrians. According to the Bureau of Justice, the U.S. Bureau of Justice, 80% of people that are issued tickets report being stopped for a legitimate reason. So the folks that were interviewed that had citations said, yeah, you know what? I was pulled over. It was a difficult situation, but the officer was right in pulling me over. 80% of people believe that they are being stopped for a legitimate reason. But even when you are, even when it's legitimate, you get that ticket, you're not happy. Maybe you were seven over on the freeway. Maybe you did this rolling pause, that rolling stop, that California stop through a stop sign. Or you overstayed your parking meter because there's a long line at Starbucks. Maybe the officer pulled over the wrong car. Hey, officer, it wasn't me. You got the wrong red car. Maybe it was an incorrect judgment call. I don't know. I don't know what those situations may be, but we've all been there. Nearly all of us have been issued some type of citation, whether it's a moving violation or non-moving violation, at some point in our life. We've all been in that same situation. And as I mentioned earlier, tickets are not cheap. The average cost of a speeding ticket is $152. If you want to fight it instead of paying it, it's also a procedural pain. You begin by pulling up the traffic law that should be, at least, put down on your citation, and you start reading the law. But you got to find it first. Is it municipal code? Is it state? Is it a county ordinance? What did you violate? So you got to look it up and you got to find it. Then you try to determine what you did. Did I actually violate it? If you believe you didn't, then you decide to fight it. But how? How are you going to fight it? Some cities require you appear anyway for all violations as opposed to mailing in a payment or paying online. Depends on what type of system they have set up. You may not know what a mitigation hearing is. Maybe that's in the, maybe you get something in the mail and it talks about a mitigation hearing. You don't know what that is. You could be eligible for deferred prosecution. What does that mean? Well, joining me on Know Your Rights to talk about these coming up just after the break is an attorney that focuses on traffic citations. That attorney is James Burnett with the firm of Lombino Martino. And you stick around, we're going to learn all about mitigation hearings. We're going to learn about how you can fight those traffic tickets. And we're going to learn about some tips of the trade. So stick around with us. We'll be right back.
Hey. You wanted to see me?
Jack, legal has some concerns about the new Jack in the Box marketing campaign.
Why? It just says my teriyaki balls are better than ever, with your choice of steak or chicken, plus veggies and white or brown rice covered in our teriyaki sauce. And then everyone's gonna love my bowls.
Right. You can't say that last part.
So I can't talk about my sweet bowls?
No.
Can I say my bowls are meaty?
Absolutely not.
But I already put up the billboard that says enjoy my bowls.
Oh, no.
Try my teriyaki bowls, only at Jack in the Box. Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Hi, I'm Noah from Know Your Rights, the show that helps educate you on your legal rights and resources available to you. You know, I want to be your lawyer, but more than that, I want to help empower you. I want to help provide you the tools that you need to be successful in your case, whether you hire me or you hire someone else. I want you to check out our website, www.knowyourrights.com. See what resources are there. See how we can help you. And if there's something that's missing, email me at noah@knowyourrights.com. And we'll see what we can do to add the material that you need to be successful in your case.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
You accidentally cut your daughter's bangs unevenly. Do you A, line things up a centimeter from her hairline?
Man, oh man, oh man, oh man, oh man!
No, sweatbands are so hot right now. Everyone's wearing them. Like that basketball player and that other basketball player.
B, get spiritual.
Mom, where did all the mirrors go?
A reflection could never capture our true selves.
Huh?
Beauty is within?
C, look on the bright side.
Less time blow drying, more time texting.
Or D, show empathy.
Mom, you really don't have
Ta-da! Twinsies!
I kinda love it. As a parent, there are no perfect answers. But you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Noah, Your Rights, the show dedicating to helping educate you, the listener, on your legal rights and resources available. Remember, we got a great resource that's out there, and that's the website, www.knowyourrights.com. I'm going to continue to add material to that, substantive material that can really help you. Ideally, it's going to be a go-to for all your legal questions and issues, and also, ideally, we're going to be able to pair you with a lawyer that either can point you in the right direction or that could help represent you in the case that you have. So I'd love for that website to do all of those things. And you can help me by sending me an email about issues that you want to see on the website, information that's missing from the website, questions that you have, so that we can make sure that we get the right material for you out there. Because if it's affecting you, it's affecting other people. So let me know what you want to hear, what we're missing, how I can help you. Today, we're talking traffic tickets. As I mentioned in the first segment, it's the most likely way that we're going to have an interaction with a police officer. It's either going to be a non-moving violation, a parking citation, or something like that, or it's going to be a moving violation. Speeding ticket is the most common one, but it could be a red light violation. It could be an illegal turn, crossing a double white line. I mean, there are just hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of different violations. Many of them are more common than others. Some are really almost theoretical in some sense, that they're on the code, but they just don't get issued very much. They're really technical violations, but there's a lot out there. The codes are really, really long, and we take these motor vehicle driving tests, but then we put them away, put them in our back pocket, and we tend to forget about them, and you don't remember if it's a double lane street or it has a divider, if you stop for the bus or you don't stop for the bus when it has the flashing light. So there's a lot of things out there, a lot of codes, and they change too. They're not always static, and you're supposed to be keeping up on those, because ignorance of the law is going to be no excuse. So traffic citations, it's a big deal, and I get questions about it. Joining me today on Know Your Rights to help address some of those questions is attorney James Burnett from the law firm Lombino Martino. James, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be here.
So we're going to focus on traffic citations, but before we do, it appears that your practice is varied. It's not just traffic citations. Can you tell us a little bit about areas of your practice?
I deal with Veterans Affairs issues, military law matters. I also dabble a little bit in the development of gun trusts for families so they don't run afoul of the federal government. And occasionally I just stick my oar in when somebody seems to have a problem.
It also appears that this may not have been your first choice, and I'm talking about a legal career. Can you tell us a little bit about that background?
Well, after college, I went into the Army and then did my time there. And after that, I went back to work as a librarian and enjoyed that very much, but ended up moving to Washington. And through a odd series of events, I ended up at Gonzaga Law School, and the rest of it, I suppose they would say, is history.
Well, the one thing that librarians and law students and law schools have in common is a lot of books. So that transition probably was a little bit less seamless than people may think.
I will say this, it certainly made it a lot easier for me to do the research in the library.
That's a good point, too. Well, let's talk traffic tickets. There's hardly a more stomach-wrenching feeling, and I can attest to this, I promise that, than seeing lights go off behind you on the freeway, and you're the first response you have is, oh God, they got me. And then the second response you have is, oh, maybe it's someone else, you know, maybe it's going by me, maybe they're responding to something else, you know, I'm just going to slow down, start to pull over, and then, oh boy, they pass by, that's great, you know. But obviously, if you are pulled over or you get the lights that flash behind you, you need to start to move to the right. You need to look, check traffic, make sure it's safe, and then gradually move over to the right. If the officer is responding to another call, they'll pass you on the left. That's fine. If not, they're pulling you over. Just gradually pull over to the right. Then when you stop and the officer gets out of the car, what do you do? What's the first response that a person should do when they're pulled over for and they don't know what yet?
Leave your hands on the steering wheel so that the officer can see that you don't present a threat.
Yeah, you know, that's actually a great point, a great starting point, because with today's climate, one thing that's happening, especially I did a segment on firearms, the Second Amendment. The U.S. possesses more firearms than any other country in the world, and definitely more per capita. So more in number and also more per capita. And there have been a rash of police shootings in the U.S. And part of that is jumpy officers. And sometimes they have reason to be jumpy because of their personal experience or that they see news reports or whatever. But firearms in the vehicle, right?
I would agree with that. So just make sure that what you're showing the officer is a person who does not present a threat to him or her.
So hands on the steering wheel, that's saying I'm no threat. Tell me what to do, officer.
Right.
You should be rolling down the window.
You roll the window down about halfway. As silly as that sounds, the reason for that is that the officer, you are unable to, or a bad guy is unable to get his hands out of the window to do anything if it's up halfway. So what you're doing is showing the officer that you're giving him or her plenty of opportunity to talk to you and so on, but that you're doing everything to help ensure the officer's safety.
I always thought of it from the other way, that no one could reach in and grab you or grab things in your car or grab your keys or turn off the engine or whatever the situation is. But you should have your engine off, right? When you pulled over, you should turn it off.
I would turn the engine off. I'd put my flashers on and make sure that you are far enough off the road so that you're not presenting a danger. And don't be surprised if the officer comes up on your passenger side, particularly if it's the highway or one of our heavily traveled side streets.
Yeah, it's a lot safer for the officer. And they're being trained. I think the training videos for them that are coming out are to access the driver through the passenger side for their own safety.
Right.
Yeah. And some of you out there may have seen some of those police videos. I mean, they're really incredible where people aren't paying attention on the freeway and they drive by and they hit the officer, or the officer just barely gets out of the way and they slam into the vehicle.
Right.
So, all right. So the officer comes up either on the driver's side or the passenger side. You've rolled your window down. Your hands are now on the steering wheel. And the officer usually says one of these two things. The first question could be, it doesn't have to be, but it could be, do you know how fast you are going? Now, that's one that I've gotten. Mm-hmm. The second one is, can I see your driver's license, proof of registration, or proof of insurance, and your registration? So how do you answer either or both of those questions?
Well, let me back up just a bit and say this. The first thing that many officers will tell you, because they are required to by law, is this conversation is being recorded. That's not because you're particularly a bad person or anything else. They've got their dash cam going. It's all for officer safety. This thing is never going to show up in court. So oftentimes what the officer will say is, do you know why I stopped you? And the reason they ask that is that unlike a criminal issue, traffic tickets are civil violations. So there's no Miranda right that attaches to that. They don't have to give you your rights before they question you. So if you say, well, yeah, I guess I was going a little fast, the officer will now write this down as an admission in his report, and you're hosed.
Yeah, and those sorts of comments come into the reports. I mean, they are looking for things like that, right? So they say, walk up to the side of the car, how, do you know what you did wrong? Do you know how fast you're going? And you say, I was going the speed limit. And they say, well, what was the speed limit? And you say 70, you know, and it's 50 or 55. I mean, you're already admitting to speeding at that point.
Right. Yeah. The truth is you should approach the, you know, when the officer says, do you know why I stopped you? The answer is always no. Now, you're always respectful because these folks got a lot of stuff going on. There's a lot of pressure there. So you're always respectful, but you don't tell them that you know why they stopped you. I don't care if they... If they catch you standing over the corpse with the bloody axe in your hand, the answer is still no. I'm sorry, officer. I don't know why you want to talk to me.
Yeah, and really, I mean, it's an honest answer because you don't know what reason the officer stopped you. Even if you thought that you were speeding, even if you feel guilty for it, and you thought you ran the red light, you don't know if that's why the officer is stopping you. It could be a burned out taillight, your blinker's been on for the last 2 miles. Who knows what the reason is, right?
Absolutely. And it gives the officer a chance to move past the initial contact and start talking with you about what he or she needs.
So the officer comes up, and some officers now are wearing the, not just have the dash cam video, but some of them are wearing on their person, they mm-hmm. have those cameras too. So,
right.
So hopefully they tell you this conversation or this interaction is being recorded. And then next thing is, do you know why I stopped you? You say no. And then the officer says, okay, maybe they tell you, maybe they don't at that point, but they say, can I see your license, proof of registration, proof of insurance and registration? At that point, do you say it's in my glove box? Do you reach for it? What do you do?
You tell the officer what you're going to do. My wallet is in my left hip pocket. That's where my license is. I'm going to lean over a little bit and take it out. And my registration and proof of insurance are in the binder in my glove compartment. So let me get those things for you. And the officer may step back a little bit so he's got a good angle to see what's going on there. And then don't go fast. You're going to be nervous. You're going to be shaking. Nobody likes to talk to the police officers. We're all scared. So take your time, breathe a little bit if you have to, and go slowly to take the documents out. Make sure the officer can see your hands all the time.
You know, one thing that historically I think we've done is we get pulled over, and the first thing we do is we go into the glove box, and the officer can see us back in the car. They're watching what we're doing, and even if it's at night, they've got the bright light shined on you. They're looking in the vehicle to see exactly what's going on. And when you're rifling through the glove box, you could be pulling out the insurance and those sorts of things. You could also be looking for a firearm, and because they don't know if they pulled over someone that's wanted in, you know, 4 states or has warrants out for their arrest or is desperate or whatever the situation is. They never know when they encounter someone on a traffic ticket. And sometimes those traffic citation encounters do lead to arrests for warrants or for manhunts or, you know, those sorts of things. But historically, I think I have, and I've seen, and maybe we see this in the movies, is we go ahead and as soon as the light flashes behind us, we rifle through because, one, we haven't checked for registration or insurance in forever. We don't even know if it's there. So
right.
we're trying to be prepared ahead of time. So that's one thing we do. Another thing that I had done in the past, and you see movies do this too, is we grab our stuff and we actually get out of the car to meet the officer. And so what do you think about those two scenarios before we move on to other things about getting things out of the glove box first or actually getting out of the car to meet the officer?
Everybody wants to be perceived as nice and cooperative. The best way to do that is you stay in your seat, you wait until the officer's made his or her contact, then you get your material out. Don't try to get it out first because you're absolutely right, Noah. What the officer doesn't know could conceivably get him hurt. They don't know what you're getting out of the glove box. So you wait. It's not going to be that much more time. And then never get out of the car. If the officer wants you out of the car, he'll ask you to get out of the car. Other than that, you stay in the car, keep your hands on the wheel, and it's not going to be a horribly long process, and you're not going to be there forever, and they're not there to beat you up. So basically, you just act in a cooperative manner, but don't give the officer any reason to be more than ordinarily aware of how things are and any potential threat that he or she might feel.
I mean, some persons might be have a disability which prevents them from getting out of the car, and in that case, you should tell the officer at
absolutely
that point and let them know that they're going to need some assistance to get out of the vehicle. Is there ever a situation where you can say, I'm not going to get out of the car?
You could. In that case, what basically you would end up doing is for whatever reason, indicating you're not going to get out of the car. At that point, what you have to expect is the officer is going to call for backup. People are going to come out. You got to have a pretty good reason for not getting out of the car. What I'll tell you is that vast majority of time, if you are cooperative, even if something comes out that you might get in trouble for on the side of the road, the more cooperative you are, the less likely anything bad is going to happen. And remember, we can take care of it we could take care of it in the courtroom or with the prosecutor. Don't argue with a cop on the side of the road.
I get that. Stay calm, be cooperative. You're giving, this officer doesn't know who or what he's dealing with at this point, and having an interaction between you and the officer that helps de-escalate. They're supposed to be the ones that de-escalate, but often it can be us that help in that situation to de-escalate the situation. And not that you're necessarily currying favor, but if you present this disposition that's a little bit more calming and cooperative. I mean, in some cases, the officer could decide not to issue a citation if they wanted to, right?
We see often in the narratives, the officer will make a note about your demeanor. I have seen it work both ways. Officers will have something about how cooperative and courteous the driver was, and that goes a long way with the prosecutor, for instance, if we're going to try to work out an arrangement. I've also seen it fail where the report says the driver was rude, foul-mouthed, uncooperative, abusive, et cetera, and the same defense that I used in the case immediately prior and got the ticket dismissed was denied for that guy because of his behavior.
Yeah, it's prosecutorial discretion at that point, right? Mm-hmm. And why do they want to go to bat for your guy? Maybe they have in their office, they have that discretion, the prosecutors do have that discretion, but only for those cases that they feel that the person was extremely polite, cooperative, whereas in other cases, they feel like the person really needs to learn a lesson. Why should we cut them a break? Because they were a jerk driving, they were a jerk to the officer, and now they're trying to be a jerk in here. I think they need to pay the consequences, right?
If the prosecutor doesn't have any reason to do anything if he feels like people are kind of, you know, tossing rocks at the system. So, yes, you're absolutely correct.
So one situation that's coming up now is, and we're going to tackle this just after the break, is firearms. Now, we mentioned this, and I said we had a show on Second Amendments. So I talked about how prevalent firearms are in America. That means a lot of people are armed, not just in their homes, but on their person. And we're an open carry state. Sometimes people will have the concealed carry license, and they'll be able to have that in their vehicle, too. It's becoming maybe more prevalent than ever before. I want to address that next on traffic stops, what to do if you are armed in your vehicle. You're listening to Know Your Rights. Stick with us.
When the day turns into night, my hash browns turn into my Jack in the Box $3 munchie mashups. Hash browns and tasty white cheese, mashed up with your choice of savory egg and bacon, buffalo chicken and ranch, or jalapenos and bacon, each for just $3. Because everything gets more interesting at night. Vampires wake up.
Oh, 9 p.m. already.
Mummies unwind.
Hot tub nice.
And the boogeyman gets his boogie on. So come try my late night munchie mashups, back for a limited time, each for just $3. Only at Jack in the Box and participating restaurants.
Hi, I'm Noah.
from Know Your Rights, the show that helps educate you on your legal rights and resources available to you. You know, I want to be your lawyer, but more than that, I want to help empower you. I want to help provide you the tools that you need to be successful in your case, whether you hire me or you hire someone else. I want you to check out our website, www.noahyourrights.com. See what resources are there. See how we can help you. And if there's something that's missing, email me at noah@noahyourrights.com, and we'll see what we can do to add the material that you need to be successful in your case.
Some statistics are surprising. Some are unbelievable. And some are simply unacceptable. Right now, nearly 30% of U.S. students aren't finishing high school. Nearly 30%. And that's the average. In many places, it's even higher than that. And fixing it is a responsibility that we all share. This is President Obama, and I urge everyone, not just parents, but friends and neighbors and family members, to take responsibility for encouraging the high school students in your communities, to support them, challenge them, push them a little, and do whatever it takes to help them make it through. Because this is one statistic we simply can't afford to ignore.
You can do your part by going to boostup.org and sending an email, a text message, or even a wake-up call to a student at risk of dropping out. Go to boostup.org and provide the boost that's needed to make it to graduation. A message from the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Know Your Rights, a show dedicated to helping educate you on your legal rights and resources available. We're talking traffic citations today. Traffic citations affect one in every five drivers in America. So one in five drivers in America are likely to get, that's actually just a speeding ticket. So the according to the Bureau of Justice, the statistics could be even more. I mean, maybe it's up to 25 to even 30 or 40% of drivers are likely to get some type of ticket in 1 year, whether that be a parking citation or a actual moving violation, since one in five are getting speeding tickets. Now, some of those statistics could be skewed because it could be the same person getting multiple tickets, you know, for the rest of us, which is fine. But that said, traffic citations are a huge part of our life in terms of having an interaction with a police officer. They're a part of life, and we're all going to make mistakes. And sometimes we're not going to know that the speed zone changed. Maybe we didn't see that there was a sign that reduced from 55 to 40. That happened to me coming off the 705, going into Old Town of Tacoma, and I did get a ticket there. And so let's talk about a couple things here. First, before the break, I talked about an issue that's of national attention. It's been the case for the last couple of years because of the number of police-involved shootings. With arms being so prevalent in America, and that by arms I mean firearms, and with the number of licenses for concealed carry permits, and even unlicensed, I mean, people just end up carrying a gun in their car even if they don't have a legal right to do so. Or maybe they can if it's, as long as it's not loaded or it's separate, you know, and you'd have to consult the books on that. But there are a number of drivers that are armed. If the officer comes up to you after a traffic stop and they ask you, are you armed? What do you do?
Pretty much you tell them whether you are or not. The truth is that they're going to know when they call in your plate to make sure that there aren't warrants and so on. One of the things that often pops up is whether you are the holder of a concealed pistol license or not. And then that will generally bring up that are you armed question. My approach has been to basically say, if you have the permit, when the officer asks for your license, registration, and proof of insurance, you give them the permit as well, so that they know that you're not trying to pull a fast one. But yes, go right ahead and tell them that you're armed. Obviously, don't do anything with it. Don't go, look, you want to see? But yeah, let them know that you're armed.
Okay, if they ask you, where is your firearm, you would tell them at that point it's under the seat or it's in the glove box, that sort of thing.
That's correct.
It could pose a little bit of a escalated situation if you say it's in my glove box, and that's where you're going to reach for the, or even if they don't end up asking you if you're armed or not, and you say I'm going to go to my glove box, that's where my insurance is. By the way, I mean maybe because the firearm might be in plain sight at that point, maybe you should say I do have an unloaded firearm in the glove box.
Absolutely, you're not a bad guy, so you might as well be as cooperative as possible. Now, the officer may say, would you mind if I hang on to that for a few minutes? Again, it's just officer safety. Yes, would you like me to hand it to you, or how do you want to do this? That's a fine line, because you don't want to give them permission to get into your car, but the officer will tell you what it is that he would like you to do, and then you do that.
Well, you know, you brought up a question there. What if the officer says, and this has happened to me too, especially when I was a kid. I mean, when you're 16, 17, 18, I think sometimes the officers just treat you like you have no rights, and you don't know what your rights are at that age. So you right. just you just do whatever the officer says sometimes, or you make bad decisions, right? But when I was 16, I remember just being in a parking lot one time in Arizona, and we were just out. It was like that cruising kind of thing. An officer came up and said, is this your car? And we weren't in it, but I said, yeah. And he said, I'm going to search it. Not may I search your car? Can I search your car? I've got reasonable suspicion to search your car. I'm going to search your car. And then that just happened. Now, you know, I know that was an unlawful search, but what happens if the officer comes up and you've talked about the firearm, or don't I have one or I don't have one, my registration, license, here it is. The next question, maybe they go back to the car, they check you out, they come back, and what if the next question is, may I search your car?
From a practical point of view, if the officer says, may I search your car, and you don't have anything wrong in there, I would still say, I would prefer that you did not search my car. If the officer has a reason to believe that, he or she can go get a search warrant. They'll keep you there long enough to get a judge to sign the warrant, and then they'll come and search your car. Many of us kind of bristle at the notion that some stranger is going to root through our possessions. I would be courteous. I'm sorry, officer, I'm not going to give you permission. And that way, even if they search the car, if you haven't given them permission, anything they find, as you know, would normally be inadmissible in a court of law without that warrant. If you give them permission and they find that one little bud of marijuana in the back seat from when somebody dropped it a month ago, that's admissible, and you're stuck with it. You could end up with one of those, you know, open container violations and so on. So I would normally say, no, I don't give you permission, but do not try to stop them from searching the car. If they're going to search it, they're going to search it, and you let them, but you don't agree to the search.
So from a practical standpoint, you know, just thinking through this, yeah, I'm with you, and I agree with all that. I think if you have a lot of time on your hands and you're sort of a defender of the liberties and libertarian kind of minded, and you're really property interest sort of type person, you definitely have the right to say, no, I do not consent to a search. And they're going to have to get a search warrant, whether you say get a search warrant or not. But two things are going to happen in that situation, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Number one is whatever you were pulled over for, if there was a violation, you're going to get it. That's number one. And also number two, during the search, there's three things. Number two is during the search, it's going to be a very thorough search of your vehicle. Now, it's not a once over. If someone has to get a search warrant for your vehicle and you're going to play that game, it's going to be a lengthy search,
right?
And maybe they're able even to impound your vehicle for the search. I don't know. And you know, search incident to arrest, or I'm not really sure. But then the third thing that's going to happen is if you do try to fight the traffic citation, then we go back to what you said before about being uncooperative. You're not going to get the prosecutor going to bat for you, because you got the police over here in the report who's on their side of the ledger saying they were extremely uncooperative and refused to search the vehicle, which was a big waste of time for all of us.
Right. Of course, the important thing is it was a big waste of time for all of us. You know, as an adult, you just make your best decision. You can even ask what it is, you know, well, what do you think you're going to find, officer? You know, a lot of times what they'll do is ask you to stay there while they bring the drug dog over to go sniff on your car. You have to make that decision. There's no hard and fast rule on that. If you got nothing to hide, and I hate saying that, but if you have nothing to hide and you've got someplace to go, maybe the thing to say is, well, take a look.
So citations now, it used to be, I think in the old days, that they could maybe pull you over for a speeding violation, they take you down to the station, then they release you and they issue a summons or something. But now you get a citation instead of being arrested. Is that the norm, or can you still be arrested for some moving violations?
You can be arrested for some moving violations. Basically what it boils down to is a number of years ago, the legislature changed most traffic tickets from what were criminal violations to what are civil infractions. They are a civil infraction is something you can't go to jail for. They can't arrest you. The only thing they can do is impose a monetary fine. There are still some things, DUI, reckless driving, assault, vehicular assault. Those things obviously are crimes, and you can be arrested for that. But if you're going down the street and you're going faster than you should, they're not going to arrest you and take you to jail. They can't do that. It would be a massive waste of resources, and it's not a crime. For that matter, they can't even arrest you or issue a warrant if you just ignore the traffic ticket.
You know, that's an issue that has come up from sort of an access to justice point of view sometimes, where persons, and this often is the case with parking citations, when you end up getting a parking citation and you don't appear in court or you don't pay the fine or there's a summons that's issued, in the old days, you get your license suspended, maybe your car's impounded, or you're not able to renew the registration. You know, I think that's more likely than an impounded vehicle, but they can impound. I've seen those locks in the past on the vehicles. You know, if they find your car issued the 100th parking citation, you're obviously not paying attention. So then you get your car booted and towed. That's not the case anymore, is it?
Not really. What they will do, though, for a typical parking ticket is they'll ding you the fine. They'll add late fees to the cost of that. They'll end up turning it over to a collection agency, which, as you can imagine, is a whole nother ball of wax. And you're right. You'll suspend your registration so that the next time you go to register the car, it's blocked. So they have ways of putting pressure on you. Now, parking tickets, things like that, of course, are not going on your driving record because they don't know who was driving. But it still follows the car. So even if you sell the car, ticket is going to go with the registered owner of the car, not the car. So
I think there's been a push lately because there's been a disproportionate effect on some citations on either persons of color or persons that are economically disadvantaged. And so sometimes the reason that someone's not paying a $150 ticket is not because they are opposed to the ticket or what they did. It's they really just don't have money to pay a $150 ticket. And then if you take away their vehicle and they can't work, sometimes it's a homeless person in a parking lot that gets the ticket. And now you're trying to prevent them from being even able to have their home, because if they can't renew the registration or their car gets impounded. So I think that there's more and more people and judges, and Judge Larson from the Federal Way District Court was here in studio and he talked a little bit about this. I think judges are becoming more in tune with how these can have a disproportionate impact on certain classes of people.
And I would agree with that. I would say don't ignore it. If you that's where people get in trouble, is just ignoring it. I can't pay it. I don't know what to do. So they don't do anything. It's a whole lot better to call somebody, send the ticket back and go to court and explain your circumstances to the judge. They will bend over backwards, many of them, to give you some kind of solution to your problem rather than just having just letting you keep getting deeper and deeper in.
And that might be a payment plan, because I think the courts will let you do that, right?
Many courts will let you do community service as well. So if you're, say, partially employed, or you have extra time, they'll let you work off your fine that way at a reasonable rate.
If you've been issued the ticket, you've gone through this traffic stop, car wasn't searched or thing, if it was, nothing happened, but you get issued a citation for speeding, for example. Sometimes it's a municipal court, sometimes it's a district court. Is there any sort of rhyme or reason why it's in one court or the other?
If it's a ticket issued to you by a city officer, you'll go to municipal court. If it's a ticket issued by a county deputy sheriff or the state patrol, you're going to district court. There's not any effective difference in terms of the rules that are applied or anything else. It's just, it depends on who is actually writing you the ticket.
It's a jurisdictional
ticket. Jurisdictional issue.
What are the most common tickets that you're seeing?
Speeding, being in the HOV lane, failure to yield. A lot of those are the, we kind of cruise through the red light when we make our right turn instead of stopping.
Yeah, that rolling stop is, that's a tricky one. And in Federal Way, they have a big intersection on, I think it's like 330th or so and 99. And that's, it's a, since it's such a big intersection and there are people turning left, you think that there should be a green arrow that lets you do that unencumbered right turn, but there's not. Mm-hmm. And you're trying to beat the traffic. And I see constantly the pictures taking the cars. I mean, that must be a big driver, economic engine for the city of Federal Way on those traffic tickets.
Money's money.
Well, let's talk about fighting these. Just after the break, we'll talk about how you can defend yourself from a citation in court, what you can do, some tricks and tips in fighting these citations. Stay with us on Know Your Rights.
Hey, you wanted to see me?
Jack, legal has some concerns about the new Jack in the Box marketing campaign.
Why? It just says my teriyaki balls are better than ever. With your choice of steak or chicken, plus veggies and white or brown rice covered in our teriyaki sauce. And then everyone's going to love my bowls.
Right. You can't say that last part.
So I can't talk about my sweet bowls?
No.
Can I say my bowls are meaty?
Absolutely not.
But I already put up the billboard that says enjoy my bowls.
Oh, no.
Try my teriyaki bowls, only at Jack in the Box. Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Hi, I'm Noah from Know Your Rights, the show that helps educate you on your legal rights and resources available to you. You know, I want to be your lawyer, but more than that, I want to help empower you. I want to help provide you the tools that you need to be successful in your case, whether you hire me or you hire someone else. I want you to check out our website, www.knowyourrights.com. See what resources are there. See how we can help you. And if there's something that's missing, email me at noah@knowyourrights.com. And we'll see what we can do to add the material that you need to be successful in your case.
This is the story of a boy wizard whose name was Larry Smarter.
Larry, why weren't you in Professor Dickie Doodle's mythical creature classification class?
Larry wanted to go to college, so he visited knowhowtogo.org to find which glasses he really needed.
You missed the lesson on telling dragons from dragonflies.
Right. I want to go to college, so I'm taking Algebra 2, Biology, and a foreign language.
Foreign language? You mean so you can talk to unicorns?
Well, not exactly. Unless they're French.
But Larry had no time for unicorns, or even for Miss Petunia Tutti's time-traveling tutorial, which met every other yesterday at 25 o'clock.
Sorry I'm late. My snarkball game went into overtime.
And he knew knowhowtogo.org was way better than hoping for a snarkball scholarship. So, while his friends all aced invisibility, when Larry finally got to college, they were nowhere to be seen.
Brought to you by the American Council on Education, Lumina Foundation for Education, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Know Your Rights, the show dedicating to helping educate you, the listener, on your legal rights and resources available. I'm Noah Davis, an attorney here locally in Pierce County. And I'm the host of your show, bringing to you topics that affect you day in and day out. Today's topic is traffic citations. Traffic citations are a big part of our life. Unfortunately, we make mistakes, or sometimes we're cited for things that arguably we didn't do, and we might have justification for whatever move we made or didn't make, and we want to go to court and fight it. So what are your rights with respect to citations? Before I turn it over to fighting the ticket. And with me is James Barnett from the firm Lombino Martino here in Lakewood, Tacoma, Washington. And they're associated with
Legal Shield.
And Legal Shield is a type of prepaid plan that we can talk more about here in just a second. But I want to get back to the traffic citations. What are your options when you're issued the traffic citation, whether it's the red light camera that you get in the mail or the officer ends up issuing it to you at the time that they make the stop? What are your options at that point after getting the citation?
Okay. There are basically two ways you get the ticket. The officer either hands it to you or it comes in the mail. Now, you have four options. You can always just pay the ticket. You can request what's called a mitigation hearing, which is basically a hearing to explain and to say, gee, Your Honor, I'm really sorry, I've learned my lesson. Will you reduce my fine? You can contest the ticket, which is, I didn't do it, and I want to come in and explain why I didn't and point out the problems here. You can also, if you're qualified, do what's called a deferral. Deferrals you get to do once every 7 years. Basically, you pay a fee. You go a certain period of time, 6 to 12 months normally, without getting another ticket, and then they dismiss this one. There are some restrictions, but not many.
So the positive about the deferred is it's not going to go on your record.
Correct.
So if you've not done it before, like in, say, 7 years, then this is an opportunity to, all right, I'll just pay the fine or the court costs or whatever they are, and they're usually about the same as what the ticket are. And then as long as you don't get another ticket, then you're going to get off on this one. You got to be very careful, but for it's usually, I think, for a period of a year.
6 to 12 months. Some courts have shorter periods of time. Conceivably, they could go longer, but I haven't run across one that's ever asked you to stay more than 12 months.
Unless you have a really, I mean, let's take these in order, like what people's real options with these are. So you get the ticket either in the mail or in person, and you got to figure out what you're going to do. You could just pay the fine and just be done with it. And that
Correct.
Saves you a whole lot of time and effort. Number two is, you've got to figure out what your level of responsibility or guilt is on this. What's your culpability level? If you think, I really did this, then you've got two options. The mitigation one, maybe you say, Your Honor, I was doing 70 and 60 or 65. I wasn't that much over the speed limit. It was the flow of traffic. Everybody was going there. The officer just picked out my car from the 20 that were all doing the same. And maybe you get the mitigation might be to reduce the fine, or it's the level of infractions reduced, maybe mm-hmm. from reckless driving to negligent or careless or something.
Amendments are, of course, a whole other kind of option, but that's a negotiation between you or your attorney and the prosecutor in that regard. But yes, that's basically mitigation, is cut me a break.
Yeah,
I'm really sorry, and I won't do it again. Please to have some pity on me and save my pocketbook.
And that mitigation hearing, sometimes not before the judge, sometimes there's a special officer, it seems, in Seattle does that.
Seattle uses magistrates, but effectively every place that I've been or the places we normally deal with, you're getting a regular municipal court judge or district court judge.
So the best option, to me at least, and I don't normally do traffic citations, but I have occasionally done them and appeared in court and defended folks or myself. Sometimes the best option is deferred.
And I would agree with that. There are a couple of restrictions. If you have a commercial driver's license, you are not allowed to do a deferral. And if you've had one in the last 7 years, you can't do one. Some courts will have written policies about what they will do deferrals for, because a deferral is always at the discretion of the judge.
Let's say that none of the other three options are available to you, and you're going to have to go in and fight this, and for whatever reason. What do I do?
You send the ticket back for a contested hearing, and you make sure it's postmarked within 15 days from the day that you got it, or if they mailed it to you, by whatever due date they put it on there. If you miss that, you got to start playing catch up. So you send the ticket back for contested hearing. You send off your, what we lawyers call your request for discovery, which is just the fancy lawyer language for, gee, I want a copy of the ticket. There are forms available to do that online. Oftentimes the court clerk's office will be able to give you that too. You're going to send one to the court clerk. You're going to send one to the prosecutor, because the prosecutor is the guy who sends you the police report. You don't go to the police station, you don't do any of their stuff. It's the prosecutor. Once you got the police report, that's where the interesting stuff happens. And I could spend a couple of hours going through all of the possibilities of what you're looking for. But basically what you want to do is, does the officer have enough facts in there to support the allegation of whatever violation you've done? If the officer says you're speeding, effectively, did he see you speed? Does he have some kind of device that backs up what he's saying about your speed? A radar, a laser? Did he do a pace test? Is there an airplane involved? These kinds of things. Obviously, as you can imagine, a lot of technical kinds of things that we look for.
Right. sometimes the officer just says, well, I just saw it, right? I just saw it with my own eyes that this car was moving faster than the other vehicles. And that's not normally good enough, is it?
That's not normally good enough. It's what we lawyers call a scintilla of evidence. It's enough to suggest, but without anything more, the officer's not considered to be the same thing as a radar or a laser to be able to tell exactly what your speed might be.
Do people need to be prepared when they show up for this contested hearing to be ready to sort of prosecute their case?
Yes, I think you have to. That's why you need the report. If it's a ticket that uses a machine, you know, for instance, like I said, a radar, a laser, you can look those up. Most of the time they're available for you to look at the records to see, have they been certified within a proper period of time? Is the person who did the certification qualified? They provide all of that information. State Patrol's great. You can go online with them and look at every one of their machines and find out. And believe it or not, they miss getting machines recertified. Officers use the wrong tuning forks, or they write the wrong tuning fork serial numbers down. A whole bunch of things.
Sometimes the ticket says, if you want the officer to be present, make sure that you request or subpoena his presence. Do you want the officer present?
No, you don't. And I'll tell you why. If the officer, and this is a practical thing, if the officer shows up, the officer will testify. He or she is good at it because they've done a lot of it. If the prosecutor's there, they're going to bring in all the essential points. And the judge, respectfully, Your Honors, is most likely going to agree with the officer because he's got all of the facts down. So no, you don't ask for the police officer, with one exception. If you have absolutely no defense and you don't have any other choice but to go ahead and contest the ticket anyway in the hope that that happens, go ahead and subpoena the police officer. It's not going to be any worse for you if you do. And if the officer doesn't show up, you should be able to get the ticket dismissed.
What are the best methods, do you think? I mean, if it's a red light ticket, what you're going to need to do is make sure that you go online and watch the video. I mean, that's a gift for sure. But what are other tips of the trade when you go to court to try to fight these things? Does it really depend? Is it very fact specific?
If there's a prosecutor there, the first thing you do is go and talk to the prosecutor. Hey, Mr. Prosecutor, I'm Jay Burnett. I'm here for a speeding ticket. Would you consider maybe changing this ticket to something that isn't going to jack my insurance rates up? If you got a pretty decent record and you're a nice guy, you stand a pretty good chance of having the prosecutor agree, and they'll change your ticket to something that won't bust your insurance.
Be friends with the prosecutor. Stay calm during the traffic citation. Make sure that you're cooperative with the officer. All these things are going to lend to your benefit. And then make sure that you look up the traffic citation, get together your facts, be prepared for court, dress nicely, dress appropriately, be ready to ask questions of any witnesses, or bring your own witnesses if you have those types of defenses to citation.
Correct.
If they need to hire a lawyer and they come to your firm, Jay, can you tell us a little bit, and we only got like 30 seconds or so, can you tell us how Legal Shield would help them?
We'd guide you through the process for getting your hearing. We'd guide you through the process for getting the police report. We'd go through everything, analyze it, tell you what your defenses are, and at the very least, we'll write them down for you and give them to you so you can read them to the judge.
So if a person has a Legal Shield membership, they go to your firm and you're going to be able to represent them as part of their plan payments.
In one way or the other, we'll be able to give them all the help we can.
That's great. Jay Burnett, thank you so much for joining us on Know Your Rights. Really appreciate it.
I've had a great time. Thank you for having us.
That's going to wrap us up for today on Know Your Rights. Thanks for listening out there. Please join us next week, same time, same day. Stay safe out there. Thank you. This is Know Your Rights.